Molly Gordon, Associate Curator at the Hirshhorn, and I'm here with Danish artist Jesper Joost, whose work is featured in our Black Box through December 2006. Jesper, the world seems to be an increasingly dynamic and cynical place, but the power of your work seems to stem from how you create a suspended sense of time and tap into something deeply emotional. Is part of your agenda to remind us not to be so suspicious and resistant to sentimentality?
Well, first of all, I've just finished a new trilogy, and it actually seems very cynical, so I don't know if I've been...
My question is too late.
It's too late, yeah. But I've been very romantic in my work, I think, over the years, definitely. I think one of the things I've tried to approach, I've tried to work with was, in the last few years, was giving... especially the man the right to show emotion in a public space towards other men without necessarily having to be sexual, or actually with not having any sexual related themes in that way to it, but more that it's actually okay to open up and show feelings in some sphere, and working very much with the social conventions in that way, and also cinematic convention in how do people interact in various spaces of places. That didn't make sense.
I don't know. I also wanted to ask you, because both of the works that we have, both titles, culminate in Men in Tears. Mm-hmm. And first, what are your directorial tricks to get actors to cry on cue? Is there a production assistant who's like burning their hand or something off camera? or are a lot of takes required to... I mean, it seems so spontaneous, but...
Okay. We do a lot of takes. There's space for improvisation, but it's... There's usually no rehearsal at all, but we just go.
Really?
We talk about it, of course.
Yeah.
It's not improvised. I have a script, and it's stage, and it's... Because when you work with... Especially when you work with film, you cannot just shoot because it's so expensive. But I would say that my tricks to make them cry, is that what you want?
Yes.
It depends on the actor. Someone is able to do it. Someone is... needs help from chemicals.
Well, no, I mean, it's that they not only do they cry, but in the pacing of the whole piece so perfectly. And do you feel that the welling up, does it represent a kind of sentimentality or regret or release or exasperation or like you said, the opportunity just to be able to be emotional in a public setting?
I've chosen these places, for instance, in No Man's Island Part 2, where you have this gentleman's club, strip club, and these men sitting there, and then again working with the convention of a place like that, socially and cinematically, conventions where you have certain expectations of what's going to happen in a place like that. For instance, naked women would be appropriate, I guess, or naturally, but they never show, and so it becomes more like a psychological striptease, or where they drop all their shields and then open up and start to show emotions towards each other, and that actually maybe they came to the place to find such a place
to be included.
Yeah, included. You could say also I think it's important if you could relate it to. For instance, if you talk about Virginia Woolf's in the 20s or 29 something, writing about that women need a room of their own to kind of realize themselves. And in all what have followed and feminism, and it seems like men has kind of forgotten to position themselves in how to relate to this new roles with equal for the sexes, and maybe so now the men also need a place where they actually can, without relating to women, to be able to show emotion towards each other.
Also, do you have an aversion to dialogue, since almost all your films use little or none at all? And do you not use dialogue in order to emphasize something else about expression, or are you making a broader statement about the nature or state of conversation?
Well, at first, I think that there's singing, and I've cut up in between with two songs, for instance, using it as dialogue. So actually, the way the characters interact is could be by singing, could be by dancing, could be by, but that becomes the exchange of various things, emotions, but. I've been working with dialogue, but I've been shooting dialogues a few times, and usually they're quite long, and then cut them down, and it always ends up with one line because it's, when you start, I like to keep the work ambiguous, and when you start putting dialogues in, it's usually you get the direction very fast. Where is this going, and what is this? Of course, you can also do that with dialogue, but one way is not to use it. From having maybe a 10-minute conversation, 6 minutes,
it's smaller and smaller.
Gets down to one line, and it's. I've just found out that doesn't work for me to put it in. I can't get the same.
Well, does it keep it more open-ended if it's?
I think it's also very difficult to work with dialogue.
Well, typically in the movies, the music provides kind of a background, but in yours, the musical selections seem to really play this active role as the sort of means through which the characters can connect. And it also seems that it's not just that they are having a conversation, it's also that it's sort of performed. It's almost like a serenade, in a way. And I was wondering if there's anything that's unusual about your own taste or response to music that brought you to that. Are you a serenader or a former choir boy or for a band yourself?
Yeah, well, this might sound awkward, but I used to play in a death metal band 15 years ago, so I've been into music. And
but that's where your romantic streak came from?
I had to go in other directions. No, but I think it's... I might use that kind of music in a later film, I don't know, but it's I definitely have been I'm very much into the music, and it's kind of the structure of the whole of the films, whether it's singing or just playing music, it's back and forth. It's if you take a musical, the story stops and it's the singing parts are more like a show that interrupts and everything stops, and it has nothing to do with the actually thing going on. So, but my I think it's what it's all about.
It seems to be the spine almost of what
I think so.
What you're watching.
Yeah, I think so.
I read recently that there was a ranking of countries and how happy their citizenry is, and Denmark was at the highest, top of the list. And is this your experience? And is the language on your sets, is it Danish? And are there particularly Danish sensibilities, facial types, expressions, or mannerisms that have a different kind of resonance when this work is seen in Denmark as opposed to for the global audience?
Maybe. I've been working in the Danish language till last year, where I did a performance in New York and also shot a trilogy that I just finished, which was in English. And I think it's not so much about the language. Yeah, it's the maybe the culture. I had some difficulties with the. I had one American actor, and I think we had some difficulties understanding each other, where we wanted to go. I'm totally satisfied with it now, but it was hard work because we don't come from the same background, and so that in that way it could be different. But in terms of using popular culture.
Or is there anything particularly Danish that we wouldn't see in the screening here, but when it's been shown in Denmark that people identify with in terms of the facial types or their expressions?
I think it's more the other way around. I don't think Danes would notice. I think more because I don't try to be particularly Danish when I do it. But of course, the locations has been in Denmark. Except from the last film, but so what I'm told is that a lot of people find it very exotic, and it's not my intention to be exotic, but it just happens, and I don't know why, because it's from the same worldwide popular culture.
Seems to give it a universal character. You know, the music is familiar to people. Supersedes anything that they're looking at. For that said, in terms of some of the other subtleties in No Man Is an Island Part 2, the character sits down to his beer and it's kind of shaking. Was that a happenstance, or is it a premonition of what happens in the rest of the piece? And the beer is shaking, but the table is not shaking. So what's happening there technically?
It wasn't on purpose. I think we had a dolly track moving forwards, and I don't know if that was shaking the table without you being able to see it. I don't know, but maybe it could also be just the pixels that it's bad quality. but because I experienced myself that it had this strange moving touch to it, I added some sound where it's with bubbles just to make it more powerful. But
I was just about to ask you about that.
I wouldn't put too much into it.
Embedded in the soundtrack are these sort of watery sounds that are clearly post-production. And it's not just that it's in another spot too, is it not? There's a kind of, like, I don't know, smack of the lips or something. It seems like they're...
But most of it, the singing is all recorded on the spot.
Really? Right.
So that's no cheating in there. You always want to do it right, because if you start to work with lip sync, people will not really believe in it. So,
Well, it also seems that there's an amazing quietude in the scenes that you've selected, and also the way, I mean, as you're watching it, it seems very still and enveloping. And these subtleties, I don't think I picked up on some of those sounds until, you know, I'd seen it many, many times. So it also seems to call attention to how very quiet everything else is, that it, you know, suddenly mm-hmm. can hear these other little things that are going on.
That's true. But I really try to be very precise, and when you do that, everything gets a meaning, or people read everything in everything, and something that I never thought of, maybe. But that's fine.
Well, what surprises you when you see these works with an audience? Are there things that people come up with that seem to be a surprising reaction? Or do you get much chance to sit and listen to people as they're?
I've heard a lot of different things, but one funny thing is that particularly people in my dad's generation and maybe older, the women seems to, or actually the men seems to hate it, some at least, but their wives seem to actually love it a lot. So I heard once a couple coming out of one black box, and then she said, "Oh, it was wonderful," and blah blah blah, and he just said, "I hated it." So maybe she got to understand him better. I don't know. Or not.
You have a new work that you've mentioned, "True Love Is Yet to Come." Can you tell us how the new work embodies some of the things that are in the two works that are in the black box, and then how it goes beyond? You've said it has a different character in terms of being less romantic, but what are the other things that you've brought over versus what's new in this, in the new trilogy?
First of all, it's shot in the US. It's shot in a Chinese garden and in New York Supreme Court and on a rooftop, 4th of July. So it has some American elements, and it's used in... It's not important that it's American. I removed the flag in the courtroom and stuff like that, but it's still we don't have courtrooms like that in Denmark and stuff, so So the setting is very different.
Will you mention who's in the courtroom?
Well, I have had a screaming men's choir from Finland, Aulu, to act as a jury in the courtroom, and they're very aggressive. So, but also it's also very beautiful. But it's quite a scene, and I don't think they've seen anything like it in the Supreme Court. So that was an eye opener for the guards there. We did it at night, but it's very nightmarish. Everything is shut in the dark, and it's, as I said, more cynical. I don't know if I was, it was my intention, but it just seemed to turn out that way.
It seems lyrical, though. I mean, it seems very beautiful and sort of poetic. I don't
know. That's good.
Maybe I need to see it again. I did see the undertones. Nor did I know you as well, so maybe I'll look at it differently. You also have mentioned that you may get into a project that involves animation. And what do you envision for that? Would you bring over some of the elements that we now, you know, characterize your work, or start from zero and go with a medium?
I'll definitely go with the medium, but it seems like I always end
up
doing...
Will there be songs?
I'll try not to have any songs. Maybe death metal. But
finally, the chance you can bring everything together.
And small, sweet puppies. Well, I don't know. No, I'm not started on the concept yet, so I have no idea yet. I've just had the opportunity to do it, and I always found it interesting. In terms of concept, but I usually always end up with the same product, even though I try to escape every time.
I also
try to make it more precise, of course.
The films to date seem to have this theme that you mentioned about men in a situation in which they're given the opportunity to respond in an emotional way. Mm-hmm. Well, for the animation, do you think that this will go in that direction, or you've proven your point through your other work?
Probably. I think maybe it's a way to do something, because it's always important to, when people kind of think they've figured it out, to do something completely different. So maybe that's I'll try to do that, but it's not completely, it's probably going to be just the same.
Also, last year you did a project that was described as an opera. It was a 20-some minute long kind of performance and projection and very complicated thing. Do you envision that you'll go more in that direction? And maybe my question is, what would your dream project be at this point?
Well, I think I just made my dream project, just finished.
Yeah.
So, but I'm gonna work on another performance. I would rather call it performance, because there was no opera singers in it, and it was not opera songs.
Yeah.
It wasn't taken from operas, but this was more like a holographic sideshow or something. I think.
Will there be a part two?
I will do another performance in 2008, I think. That's the plan. But it's not going to be with the technique from that, because I think then it will take over. It's almost...
And the technology takes over.
Yeah,
then.
I don't think that's so interesting in itself. It would, so it's going to be something completely different.
And you also seem to have identified a variety of characters that you use over and over again that are your sort of everyman type characters. Are they going forward with you into the next body of work, or...?
Well, I would say the new film has a deadly end, and I don't know if the protagonist survived that film, but he might, so...
You're Harry Potter.
Yeah. But I have had the same... young actor been playing out in, I don't know, 15 films or so, and I like that. It gives it some kind of broader connection between the films. But
it's often written that he sort of resembles you. In your mind, does he sort of stand for your voice on the screen? Or
I think if you take the 90s, at least in Scandinavia or in Denmark, there was a big scene of video artists pointing the camera at themselves and using themselves as medium, very low tech, but still just being acting out and in some way I think it's more or less the same, just in different, because I just put the same one, just someone who's better doing me than
you.
It's not the stories are not taken out of my private life, of course, but there's of course a reason why I have an interest in these things, but it's not me up there, I wouldn't say, because he's so different every time, and especially in the new one, he's very evil in a...
Well, is there anything you wouldn't want him to do, say, on the big screen in a movie, in a like Hollywood way, that would sort of ruin his...
I always try to talk him out of doing stupid commercials, but he doesn't care, because...
You've probably given him notoriety to be recognized and hired for those, so...
Well, he'd been in feature films and stuff like that, but... I have no control of his life. I'm just another director doing some stuff, so no.
Is there anything in particular that I haven't asked you that you would like people who are coming to see our black box installation to know or to think about?
Yeah, I think it's important to say that there's no interpretation that's wrong. It's very open, and it's meant to be for people to take their where they come from, and of course you'll always interpret it in that way. But there's not one way of reading them. So I hope that they will be open to whatever.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.